Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity.
Keep this frequency clear. Keep this frequency clear.
Golly, this is so great. Let's watch some fire.
Ladies and gentlemen,
coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from various weathers. So we want to make sure that everybody is safe. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean streets of Danville, California, Wilmington, North Carolina, Waco, Texas. And from igloos everywhere, Brantford, Ontario. We're coming at you live and unedited from UFC 215, Johnson versus Ward. It will be held this Saturday, September 9th, at the Rogers Place in Edmonton, Alberta. How about that, Prado?
Yep.
Now let's meet the host. Fighting! You know what? I'm going to change it up a little bit because we want to hear about what's going on with Pam. So fighting out of the red corner, the Maple Leaf himself, the man who has an 8x10 glossy always with him, Doug Flutie. How do you like that, Prados? The one and only Prados. Wait a second. Let me cue the music. Hit it. What's up? How about that? How could you not like that? And that only applies when Marco's on here. Let's meet the beautiful lady fighting out of the North. Well, I can't say North Carolina. Out of the Duke blue corner, the lady who has the voice. Go through some weather conditions, and we definitely don't want to make light of that. We want to make sure that everybody's safe everywhere that's been affected by the tragedies that are going on in the weather conditions. Good Lord. We want to make sure everyone's safe, but let's meet the beautiful lady, Pam herself. Cue the music.
Oh, my gosh. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing? Staying dry, I hope. Getting kind of crazy here, but... I'm here.
Pam, before we go into your weather conditions, because Marco actually was chatting about this off air, let's get Marco in and then we can go into what's going on because there's a lot that's going on over there and we want to make sure everyone's safe. Of course, down in Texas, there's been, poor people there have gone through a lot, especially in the Houston area, so we want to make sure everyone's safe. Let's get Marco in and chime in on what's going on with you, Pammy. Let's hit the music.
Marco from Waco Rollers. We got hurricanes, we got forest fires, we got Oregon burning, tornadoes,
mm-hmm.
Damn it, and none of that is going to stop us from doing a show.
You know that... You're right, because we up in Northern California, we have fires going on. We have fires actually in the south part of the state. Gosh, I'm not sure what's going on, Brody. Do you have any weather issues at all up there at all?
We're good right now, but I'm sure we're going to get the tail end of all of these hurricanes that are coming this way.
Yeah. We all get blizzards, don't you?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Canadians get those humongous freaking blizzards. So, yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do?
Pam, let's go to you first. Tell us what's going on right now in your neck of the woods.
Me?
Yeah.
In oh my God. Okay, so my neck of the woods, we've got, you know, because we're right on the coast. So I'm literally on the 10 miles away from the water, from the beach that I go to. There's another beach that's like 5 miles away. There's the Cape Fear River that's like 5 miles away. So we're completely surrounded by water. So what's going on here is because of the in Texas, they were shutting down some of the pipelines, I think. I work next to Costco. The office that I work for is connected to Costco, but I don't work for Costco. But anyway, so what happened was Monday or Tuesday, they got a tanker full of gas, and the gas had water in it. So they had to, they couldn't distribute the gas, and they had to take out the pumps or the tankers and clean out the tankers. So they ran out of gas. So they ran out of gas Tuesday, and then they ran out of gas Wednesday, and then they ran out of gas Thursday. And then the last couple of days, they've run out of water because people are just going and they get water and they get propane because we get flooded. And I mean, we're right in the path of the hurricane. So everybody's just going crazy, you know. And I went last night. I was going to get some water, not because I'm getting all crazy, but because I needed some water to keep at the house. So they didn't have any at Costco. So I went to one of the grocery stores about 11 o'clock and I got water and ice cream, and I'm good. And then I'll
Martha,
go to the liquor
going
store probably Saturday.
Well, funny that you mentioned that, because, you know, with all the stuff that is going on South Texas, you know, Houston and all the other small towns that got, like, super inundated, here on Waco, that we're, like, on the north central part, right about the middle, there is like a shortage of supplies of everything because they're diverting everything to Houston. So for like a few days, there was a shortage of freaking water, a shortage of milk, a shortage of food. And like you know, like you go to a supermarket and the supermarket is always packed with everything. Cut that all in half. Cut that all in half, because that's what.
Wow.
If you didn't go in the morning, you missed it. By the evening.
Well, you know what I saw on the news, that the vegan aisles were full.
not here. And the gas for a few days, it was the same. It like for the first 2 days after Harvey, there was like no gas anywhere. And now we finally started bringing like trucks, because, you know, they cut up the pipelines because the damn refineries got flooded. So the trucks started filling the stuff out, but gas jumped off. It was like almost was $1.98 a gallon 2 weeks ago, and now it's like $2.60.
So,
yeah, that's what's happening.
$1.98. Sign me up.
I know,
right? Well, over $3.
Yeah, yeah.
Good Lord.
Texas, dude. Texas, you know, we are in gas country, Texas. Gas is super cheap in here. It's ridiculous.
Damn. I'm going to drive down there to fill up.
Yeah, but
Proteus, what are the gas prices over in Canada?
Yeah, I had to apologize to Marco because I was just joking with him last week when I said we have refineries up here and we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all of our gas prices are connected. And yeah, it's up near $1.30 a liter. Can you guys figure out what a liter is?
Yes.
Guys, like, is it like
$1.30? That's it?
No.
A liter. Yeah.
No, a liter is like, is it like 4 liters to a gallon or something like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Three. Exactly. Isn't it 3 liters?
It's like 3.5 or 3.6 or something like that,
right?
Yeah, so he's paying close to $5 a gallon.
Right.
Oh, man, you're way more.
Yeah.
Good Lord. Yeah, it's three liters.
3 liters to a gallon?
Do you call it gas or
a little over
petrol?
Three.
We call it gas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is
gasoline.
Exciting.
Yeah.
Wasn't it exciting radio?
Yeah, everyone's riveted right now.
Yeah, we're up with this. Let's go to MMA, dude. Come on, let's do this thing.
Yay.
Right, all right.
Let's do that.
But
let me take something from MMA.
No. Let's get through this, and then we just want to make sure everyone from the AMP family. We want to make sure that everyone's safe and sound. So our thoughts and positive thoughts and et cetera are going out to you for those that are maybe not. Whatever, we want to make sure everyone's safe. So we'll leave it at that. And of course, MMA Junkie Radio going on a vacation. We want to make sure they're safe. Of
on
course,
a road
well
trip,
because they're going. Yeah, with Misha Tate. Son of a gun. All right, guys, let's move into the card because we got a lot to talk about, and then we'll go into some of the other stuff that's going on there. Speaking of MMA, etc. So let's get into it, guys, and then we'll start having fun towards the end. Big card, guys, and honestly, I'm stealing straight from Goes on this one, guys. But I was bagging on UFC 215 for quite some time. I'm looking at it. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. On the undercard, of course, you have Sarah McMahon, Henry Cejudo, Wilson Hayes, Sarah Morris, Ashley Evans-Smith, Rick Glenn, one of Proteus's favorites. So it's not bad. Let's get into it, guys. To the featherweight we go. Little heathen, Jeremy Stephens, 31 years young, 25-14. A minus 120 underdog will be fighting one of my favorite fighters of all time. And of course, as Mark would say, a Bellator veteran, Gilbert Melendez, 35 years young, 22-6. And it's amazing that he has six losses, guys, because I think of him only as winning basically just about everything. A minus 110. El Nino is moving down in weight, and of course, towards the later stages of his career, we will start off with Proteus. Prados, do you have the little heathen, or do you have El Nino? Which, by the way, is Spanish for El Nino.
Grumpo?
Yes.
We should call him El Hombre, no?
Okay. I'm very concerned, Tony. First of all, for Gilbert Melendez moving down to 145. Secondly, I think it's a bad fight for him against Jeremy Stephens. I think that he's going to need to stay away from Jeremy, like most people need to do, and I don't know if he's going to be able to do that. I'm really, really interested to see what he looks like on weigh-in day, see how that cut is affecting him, you know, coming down those extra 10 pounds. And I agree with you, Tony. I mean, we've always thought about El Nino as one of these guys that wins a lot, you know what I mean? But of late, I mean, we haven't seen him. He hasn't looked great. And he's coming down in weight. And like I said previously, I'm a little concerned about that because Jeremy Stephens can crack. To make a long story short, I'm going to take Jeremy Stephens. I'm going to take him by second round KO at this point, just because I think that the weight cut is going to affect him, Gilbert, as Reebok likes to call him. So second round KO, Jeremy Stephens.
Darn, that one hurts. Marco, we go to you. Do you agree with Proteus?
Well, first of all, yeah, for all the people that are shading on this card, this is my hardcore card's dream, dude. There is a lot of really good fights here. Doesn't pop with, like, the superstar value, you know, but when it comes to the fights, holy shit, there is some good fights in here. It's sad that we lost the Ngannou-Dos Santos fight. I mean, that would have been the icing on the cake. But still, the card holds up, and you got two championship fights, so don't complain, people. When it comes to this particular fight, I share some of the concerns that Prodigy's got about homeboy Gibler Melendez. Gibler, shout out. Gilbert, since he came from a strike, yeah, he did have two title shots, once again, Benson Henderson, and the other one against Anthony Pettis. A lot of people could argue that he won the Benson Henderson fight. And then the other... The other fight of notice of him was the fight with Diego Sanchez on a fight that he almost lost. He hasn't looked quite the same. And then, of course, is the fight that he got suspended for performance-enhancing drugs. This is a guy that looks more like he's on the, you know, he's on the wrong side of 30 now. What is he, 35, 36?
35.
He's on the downside of his career, especially for the lighter weight classes. Don't like the fact that he's going down in weight. He hasn't fought at 145 since he fought on Chudo back in 2005.
Damn.
It's like he's trying to get a fresh coat of paint yeah, a long, long time ago. I don't like it, dude. I think that even though he's a fantastic fighter, he's a little bit on the downside, and it happens to all the fighters. It's nothing to be upset about. He's, you know, coaching his wife to be an MMA fighter and a kickboxer. He get the ESPN analyst gig. It's not like Gilbert Melendez is doing bad. I mean, the guy has been very smart with his money. But you see, in the last 4 years, the guy has fought like once this year because of injuries, because of suspension. So he's been very inconsistent. Jeremy Stevens, on the other hand, very, very consistent. He has been fighting a lot. He's the younger guy. I don't think he's as talented as Gilbert, but he, at this point, I think he's the guy with the more to offer. He got knockout power. Like I said, I don't like the fact Gilbert has to look great, you know, after the suspension. He got the issues with injuries. Everything points to me of like a desperate mood, like moving down at 145. On a perfect world, Gilbert would win a unanimous decision, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Stevens is going to be able to catch him. And, you know, everybody knows that Jeremy Stevens can crack. I see Jeremy Stevens catching Gilbert on the second round and not outrun KO him, but, you know, they're going to have to pull Jeremy Stevens out of Gilbert. If this fight happened 5 years ago, it was Gilbert Melendez all day. There wouldn't be no doubt. But it's because of all the extenuating circumstances that I got no faith on Gilbert at this point. Even though he's a slight favorite, I think it's more a show of respect for Gilbert than actually, you know, discounting Stevenson. I think if you think about it, it's basically a pick-em. So Vegas is telling you that they think Stevenson can win this fight, and I think he can actually win this fight in emphatic fashion. So I'm picking Stevenson by second round TKO.
Darn. Pammy. Proteus going second round KO. Marco going second round KO, TKO. Same thing, KOs and TKOs, we count them as the same. Here, Pammy, we go to you. Is it going to be the heathen or is it going to be El Nino?
Okay, so, El Nino, I was thinking we should be calling him El Hombre by now. He's 35. But, you know, he's got... great ground and pound, good cardio, great transition. He's part of the scrap pack. So, you know, the thing with little heathen is I think sometimes he gets too emotional and just kind of loses control of what he's doing and can be very unpredictable. Keep in mind, both of these guys are coming off losses. But if you look at the caliber of fighters, this is going to sound funny, but Gilbert's lost to better people. But, you know, I'm trying to look here. Gilbert has lost. He's got losses to Benson Henderson, which is a decision split. He's got a loss to Anthony Pettis, submission. But Eddie Alvarez and Edson Barboza with both decision losses. So I think he's still got a little bit of pep in his step, and I'm going with him. I'm taking him by decision, and Nino by decision.
All right, so we have Proteus going second-round KO, Marco doing the same thing, second-round TKO, Pammy going Gibbler via decision, and I agree with Pam. Guys, if you look at this, and Marco's right, Jeremy, the little heathen, Stevens is very consistent in being 5-5 in his last five, and rather 5-5 in his last 10. And let's not forget, he's 2-3 in his last five. And everyone talks about Stevens being able to crack. He's got more decisions lately, guys, than he does KOs. Decision to Renato Moicano, decision to Frankie Edgar, decision to Henan Burhau, that was a joke, nothing. Decision to Max Holloway, TKO's Bermudez, decision Oliveira, decision Cub Swanson, decision Elkins. I actually think that Cub Swanson and Gibbler are very similar in terms of style. Guys, I think somehow El Nino pulls one out. I don't know out of where, but he pulls one out, gets a decision, So I'm with Pam on this one. Decision via El Nino, which is, of course, English for the Nino. Nino. All right, we move up. Yeah. Sorry, I forgot what that is. That's a nod, by the way, to Tommy Boy. For those that know what it is, you got it. All right, let's move up, guys. To the light heavyweight we go, guys. And we kind of go exciting, guys. Tyson Pedro, don't call him Pete. Tyson Pedro, 25 years young, guys, 6-0 in this Aussie favorite. Actually has looked really impressive, right, in the UFC thus far. He's a +110 underdog. He will fight Aleer Queen Latifi. I know that's not his nickname, but that's what we call him. 34 years young, 25-4-1. And he is the favorite, Prados, at a -150. Boy, are we missing Showtime right now, right? We go to the beautiful Pam as I had a reshuffle here. Pammy, will it be Tyson, Pete, Pedro, or will it be Aleer, don't call me Queen Latifi?
Okay. You know what? This fight was kind of interesting to me. Because, oh my gosh, okay, you've got Latifi, 34, 5'10", the 73-inch reach, and you've got Tyson Pedro, 25 years old, 6'3", with a 79-inch reach. This guy is 6-0, so brand new guy, up, you know, coming up, 2KO, 4 subs. He's a black belt in Japanese jiu-jitsu, a black belt in Kenpo karate, a brown belt in jiu-jitsu. My concern with Latifi is he does have KO power, but I'm wondering about his cardio because he's a big 5'10", a very big and muscular and stocky. And I'm just, you know, these Australians that are coming up, and I mean, they're doing some crazy stuff. And I'm going with Tyson Pedro. I'm doing a second round submission. Over the
second round sub. Wow. So Pammy choosing Pete Pedro with a second round sub. We go to you, Proteus. Do you agree with Pam? Will it be Pedro or will it be Latifi?
Well, I think this is a very interesting fight. And Marco brought up earlier on that we missed the fight that dropped off. But, you know, as we've been saying, this fight card looks very, very interesting. And as Marco said, a lot of these fights are mainly for the hardcore fan, like this one is. I mean, this one right here is very, very interesting because Latifi, you know, coming off that loss to the now Bellator champ. Well, I mean, we can't really hold it against him, right? We can't really hold it against him. But Latifi was surging, and he was coming up in the ranks, and we're like, oh, we got to pay attention to this. And then Bader just knocks him down, and that's only one loss. Now he's coming up against, like you said, a surging Tyson Pedro, coming off of, you know, two straight wins. One is the performance of the night. The second first round TKO, KO, as we say, same thing on this show. Very, very interesting fight. I mean, my brain wants to go with Latifi, but, you know, I don't know. Pedro's that kind of unknown, you know, as it were. I'm gonna take Tyson Pedro here. I'm going to go out on a limb here, Tony. I'm going to put it all on the line here. I'm going to say maybe it gets out of the first round. But these two really go at it. I can't say this is going to be the spotlight fight of the night because it's on the main card, but you know what I mean, Tony.
Wow, all right. So you and Pam, Pam choosing Pedro via sub, Proteus actually agreeing with Pam and saying, yeah, I think it's going to be Pedro, but I think it's going to be via TKO or KO. We go to you, Marco. Do you agree with Pam, and do you agree with Proteus?
I kind of disagree with my colleagues here. I mean, Tyson Pedro is an outstanding prospect, young guy that we need, those young blood in the light heavyweight division. According to a lot of people, he's the next coming of Jesus, you know, Australian guy. But I'm ready with Queen Latifi, man. And for what reason or another, the sleds haven't, like produce. So he was surging, and he was getting some quality wins. And then, of course, he got caught by the head kick slash knee from Ryan Bader on a very exciting fight, never mind, you know. I look at Latifi, and he got the same stats I used to have when I was on check. So I had to ride with my homeboy, you know, 5'10", 205, old Jack. So, thinking, I think Latifi got a little bit more experience. He famously trained with Gustafsson, so he's not going to be overwhelmed by, reach or anything like that. I mean, Gustafsson eat anybody alive when it comes to reach, no name John Jones. So I'm going to go with Latifi. I think he's going to be able to impose his wrestling. And he likes to close the gap and get into those brawls and stuff. Latifi likes to make it ugly. He's not a technical guy. He likes to make it into a brawl. And he does that. I think he's going to be able to catch the John Blood, you know, and TKO this guy early in the first, early on the second. I mean, late in the first, early on the second. Let's say second round TKO for Latifi. You know, let's try the Queen Latifi bang one a little bit longer. And if not, it's still going to freaking ride because I like the dude.
Wow. So there is some dissension in the ranks. Marco going with Latifi, second round KO or TKO, or maybe late in the first. Proteus choosing Pedro Pammy, going with the second round sub from Pedro. And I'm going with Pam and Proteus on this. I'm actually choosing Pedro only because Latifi, if you look at his background, guys, most of his losses, or at least four of his five losses, have been via TKO or KO. His lone loss, of course, via Gegard Mousasi via decision. Maybe, of course, soon to be Bellaforce champ. I'm going with Pedro on this one, and I'm going Pedro. I think he's going to finish him, so I'm going with Proteus. Second round TKO KO for Tyson Pedro over Ilir Latifi. Let's move up, guys. Boy, we're moving well on this one, moving with time. To the welterweight we go, guys. Neil Magny, a hero, right? An army hero. 30 years young, guys, 19-5, a plus 170 underdog. He will fight former champion Rafael Dos Anjos. Don't call him Rafael Dos Anjos. Rafael Dos Anjos, 32 years young, allegedly, 26-9. He is the favorite at minus 210. We go to you, Marco. Will it be Neil Magny, your army buddy, or will it be Ralph? I got nothing from Ralph, really?
nada. Zero. Yeah. Besides the fact that Neil Magny is a veteran, he's a good fighter. He got cardio for days, but I don't have confidence of him to be able to finish the fight. Rafael Dos Nachos, Dos Nachos,
got it.
Former lightweight champion, and we have seen that he got this pressure style that suffocates people. The guy can crack. He's a wizard on the ground. And I seen that not having to cut weight actually been a positive thing for him. You know, he looked good on his welterweight debut, Tarik Safadin. And now, you know, I seen this fight is mostly to get Dos Anjos ranked and make it a player on the welterweight division. Neil Magny, whether you like it or not, has become the gatekeeper to the stars. If you beat Neil Magny, you belong on the top five. And that is what I seen that make this fight. Because they want to see Dos Anjos is going to become a player. So whether we like it or not, Dos Anjos is sort of a name, you know, former champion. You want to put it in the mix with the Cerrones, the Lawlers. You want to put him in the mix there with the Wonder Boys, just to make to make it exciting. Because Woodley, whether we like it or not, had beat the first, you know, Esteban de Hutton, he beat twice. Demian Maia, he beat. Robbie Lawler, he took the belt from him. Carlos Condit is retired. Cerrone just lost. We need contenders. And who better than to contend for a champion than a former champion, Rafael Dos Anjos? I'm picking Dos Anjos, and I'm picking him to finish this fight. Because of the pressure he's going to put on Neil Magny, Rosendo is not a guy that you can take down easily. He's really good on the clinch. He's going to pin Neil Magny against the cage and give him a freaking steady diet of elbows and knees and knuckle sandwiches. He's going to finish Neil Magny. I'm going to give Neil Magny the credit of his cardio and his endurance. And he's going to get finished early on the third round by TKO by Rafael Dos Anjos.
Wow. All right. So, Pam, your boy Marco is choosing Dos Anjos, as we like to call him, Ralphie. Pammy, are you choosing Ralph or are you choosing Neil?
Okay, so we've got Dos Nachos and Magny. Okay, I do like that Dos Anjos is coming up in weight. So that's good and bad. But, okay, you know, again, with more weight comes more muscle mass, comes more oxygen that you use up, correct? So if you look at Rafael, he's coming off of a win, Tarek Safadin, but that was a decision, a round three decision, okay? So it went all three. He's coming off a loss to Tony Ferguson, Eddie Alvarez. He did beat Cerrone, but that was, I think Cerrone was hungover that night. But I'm wondering if, like I said, I think it's good and bad. I think it is better for him to come up in weight. But then you're looking at Neil Magny. Neil Magny is 6'3" with an 80-inch reach. Dos Anjos is 5'9" with a 70-inch reach. Magny has wins over Hendricks, over Gastelum, Lombard, Eric Silva. And I know he was coming off an injury. I'm not sure what, I don't recall what it was. But cardio is not a problem. And I'm just wondering with Rafael, if coming up in weight as he is doing, if cardio is going to be a problem for him. Magny has won 11 of his last 13. And I just think that this is going to be, I'm going with Magny on this. I am going with, this one to me is going decision as well.
Wow. All right. You know what, guys? We're all over the place. Pammy going via decision for Magny. Marco thinks that Dos Anjos actually is going to finish Magny, the much taller fighter. We go to you, Proteus, the voice of reason. By the way, do you recall what RDA's injury was according to Marco? Sorry, the voice of Heezen. Do you recall what Conor McGregor called RDA's injury, Proteus?
No, I do not, sir.
Well, I'm not going to repeat it. We go to you, bro. What say you?
I can't really hate on what Marco said because of RDA's previous performance at 170. But I also do have to agree with Pam that, you know, Neil Magny is a gentleman that has been fighting at 170. He's proven himself there. Again, I go back and forth in my head because Marco makes a good point, because maybe this is the natural weight for Rafael Dos Santos. I know I probably didn't say that right, but I'm Canadian, so give me a break. But I do believe Tony, that the 10-inch reach advantage for Magny is going to pay dividends. I think that Neil Magny is going to take this one. I have to agree with Pam. I think that this one is going to be a good fight, or it's not going to be a good fight, and it goes three rounds and we get a decision. I'm going to take Neil Magny in three rounds. I don't think it's going to be unanimous, so probably split decision on this one. Neil Magny.
Thank you.
Wow. All right. Pam going with choosing Magny, the Army veteran. Proteus choosing Neil Magny, the Army veteran. Marco turning his back on his fellow Army veteran, Neil Magny. You know what, guys? And by the way, Connor called RDA's injury. He said he broke his foot and his vagina. which I did not want to repeat because I have respect for RDA. But guys, RDA is very undersized.
But you still repeated it.
Darn it. I did. You know what? We have, hold on, guys. I think we have Showtime on the line. Hang on. Let's do this intro right. We finally got someone to match the caliber of star of Pam and the caliber of star of Marco. Hit it.
You got to know when to hold up. Know when to fold up. Know when to walk away. Know when to run. You never count your money.
What's up, y'all? How's everybody doing?
Hey,
guys. How is everybody?
Good.
Yeah. Listen, thanks for having me on the program.
That doesn't sound like Showtime.
I'm sorry if I sound a little off. I just got diagnosed with chlamydia.
I know who this is.
Fellas, Clearwater Beach bad boy.
Oh, my
God.
Oh, my gosh. Hang on. Oh, my gosh. I should have known. Hit it.
Fellas, Clearwater Beach bad boy checking in to the program, the only program that keeps it real, the only program that lets everybody talk at once, and the only program that has Marco from Waco. That's what I know. How many feet of water is that guy under?
Not because I live in Waco.
Guys, let's get to the meat and potatoes of this call, because I'm sure the tens of dozens of people that listen to this podcast have been wondering where the Clearwater Beach bad boy has gone, but I have a little bit of a gripe. Lately, MMA Junkie, which I have been a part of for almost 12 years, has become stiff and corporate and backdoorish and boring, and I just can't handle it. I mean, how do you have a show with Trigg, and you don't even ask Trigg what his situation is, as far as who he's dating, who he's with, what he's, you're going to talk to him about officiating? I thought his fight career was boring. Now we got to talk to him about officiating? Guys, I am depressed over all this. Like, I want to hear what skanks he's running with in Vegas. That's what the Clearwater Beach bad boy wants to hear. And speaking of which, who all is on the horn? Who, what sort of degenerates do you have on this program? And I thought I heard a chick. Is that cross-eyed Kim?
No, Clearwater. We have the beautiful Pam from North Carolina, who we love and respect. We, of course, have Marco from Waco. We have your favorite Canadian, of course, Proteus, and yours truly.
Guys, that's what I like to hear. I'm not sure who Pam is. Pam, why don't you give us a little breakdown, since we're on radio, of what we're talking about, a little tail of the tape for the show, height, weight, size.
No, we can't do that.
This.
I have a lot of respect for her.
Y'all know who I am, and I can see that you're still an asshole from last time's show. So,
ouch.
I'm just thinking of that.
What?
Oh, we love everyone.
I like this girl.
We get along with everyone.
Anyway.
We love everyone. Clearwater, let me give you this, Clearwater. So you do have, what was your take? What was your take on the whole McGregor? Because you didn't chime in at all on the whole McGregor Mayweather thing. What was your take on this?
Well, I like to call it Boxamania 1, guys. I thought it was horseshit. I thought it was absolute horseshit. First of all, let me say that McGregor being able to go that long of a fight and that long of a distance with a boxer, anybody, you got to give credit where credit is due. And I heard it said best, it would be like if a baseball player went and tried to play cricket. You know, put Albert Pujols on a cricket team and see how well he does. It seems like it's kind of the same thing, but it's not. If they did this as a K-1 style, if they just let somebody kick or elbows, it would have been over. But what I absolutely loved about it is we got to see, for $100, the death of boxing. It's over. There was a major fight a few weeks later, and it wasn't even one of the top five stories. Ezekiel Elliott, his suspension was a bigger story, guys. Boxing is officially over, and it took an MMA guy to bring it down. So in my opinion, he didn't beat Mayweather, killed boxing, And I think that's basically where it is. And I don't dislike boxing. I just think that the sport is done. It's been swallowed by a more dynamic combat sport. It's over. And we saw the culmination. And don't let the numbers fool you guys. They couldn't even sell out that fucking arena for the boxing match. They couldn't. There was probably 6,000 seats still available. I've got the photos to prove it.
Clearwater, I got to ask you this. Big fight, Canelo and Triple G. I know you're not a huge boxing fan, but you are a fan of combat sports, and you certainly know your way around some of the bets, et cetera. What do you have for Triple G and Canelo?
Listen, I am a huge sports bettor, huge sports gambler. In fact, I'm getting ready to go watch this Dodger game tonight, and I like them huge if you got something on an offshore account. But what I will, and I'll even bet on them nags in the WNBA if I see a total I'm interested in, if you feel me. But what is the line on this fight? What are we looking at here?
I believe Triple G is a slight favorite over Canelo.
I would go, and see, this is what I did, and I got burned in the McGregor fight. I got burned in the Mayweather fight. I would go under 9.5 rounds. I love prop bets on boxing. Who wins and who doesn't, you might as well flip a coin, because it's like ice skating. You're hoping that the judges go your way, and you hope that the amount of money you win is on what the judges pick if it goes the distance. So I like under 9.5 rounds. That is a long train ride. Let me explain what that is like real quick before I let this program get back to the masses. It's like being on an airplane full of a bunch of shitty-ass kids, and the flight's 2 hours. And you bet that in the first hour and 45 minutes, somebody's, one of these children fucking pukes or cries. Chances are it's going to happen. But if you go an hour and 45 minutes into a 2-hour flight, nobody throws up and none of the kids cry, chances are it's going to go the distance. But I always like it to go under the 9.5 rounds. So I would go heavy that way. And let's face it, you don't even have to know boxing. Most of these fights go under 9.5 rounds. McGregor just barely made that.
Hey, Clearwater, let me ask you a question. You know that you live in Florida and you got that freaking Godzilla of a hurricane heading your way. What are your preparations there, man? What are you and your family doing to get ready for this Irma hurricane?
See, I get that question a lot, obviously, being from Clearwater Beach, sitting in Tampa, Florida right now. Let me explain to you what the fake media is doing, driving up the gas prices and things of this nature. I look at these storms and the chaos sort of like my dream, which is for this world to sort of culminate itself into the movie Cyborg. I like this world. I want to see it blow all the Cubans out of South Florida and all the Mexicans out of South Texas.
My God.
Then we can build the wall, and next is Canada. God bless.
The one and only Clearwater Beach bad boy. Gosh. I know that he's controversial, guys, but I'm a huge fan of Clearwater Beach bad boy. As long as he's respectful to the beautiful Pammy, who, of course, I have nothing but respect for.
What a dick. Oh, my God.
Hey,
girl, Pammy, you know I'm going to defend you till the very end. You know that, right, Pammy?
Oh, but you know what?
I
can defend myself. But the first time. Once you cross me one time, that is it. You don't get a second chance. So fuck him.
Wow. All right.
I gotta brush my teeth because he just left a bad taste in my mouth. Hang on.
Ouch. So Pammy, while we have you here, though,
what is your pick, dude? Let's go back into the show.
Right. Well, Pammy went with Magny, but I forgot the round and method. Pam, what was round and method?
Did I say decision? I think I said decision with that.
Yeah, Pam and I said decision.
Yeah, decision.
All right, so.
Decision.
So Proteus.
Joe y Proteus.
Proteus and Pam both going with Magny via decision. Proteus said second round KO, right, Proteus?
No, I said decision as well.
Darn, see, I was thrown off. So Pam and Proteus choosing Magny via decision. Marco going RDA second round, guys. You know what, guys?
Third
I got to agree with Marco.
Third round.
Third round, sorry. I got to agree with Marco, but I'm going second round. Marco going third. I'm going second. I don't know how he does it, but I think RDA, assuming he's the RDA of old and with 100% non-audited supplements, I'm choosing RDA second round TKO or KO or maybe some sort of finish for sure. So I'm actually riding the fence on that, but I'm choosing RDA in the second. Is that good enough, guys? Will that suffice?
Yep. Yep.
All right, guys.
Some kind of alphabet.
Let's move up, guys. We go. You know what? You knew I was going to throw this to Pammy. Do we even have to go through this exercise with Pam? But I'm going to go anyway. To the women's bantamweight we go. Does it matter who's fighting Amanda Nunes for Pam? But I'm going to say it anyway. Valentina Shevchenko, the Bullet, 29 years young, 14-2, a minus 120. She will fight the lioness, Amanda Nunes, 29 years young, allegedly, 14-4, and she's also at a minus 110. Pammy, I shouldn't even go through this exercise, but I'm always going to give you the floor. Pammy, I think you're choosing Valentina, but are we wrong here?
Well, you know, what's funny is I actually had my notes saved from July when I went to Vegas to do this fight. So I actually had my notes saved. So, you know what? I'm still going by my original pick. I like Amanda Nunes, the lioness. I'm doing short and sweet third round TKO for me. Boom.
Darn. So Pammy keeping it short and sticking with her original, guys. Third round TKO. We go to you, Proteus. Proteus, will it be the Bullet who used to seem to like dance, or will it be Amanda Nunes? That's a joke, by the way.
I am also going to stick with my original pick. I think that Shevchenko gets this done. I think she gets it done in the later rounds. Again, I think she might get to a decision. So I'm going to take Shevchenko by decision. Over a very, very tired Amanda Nunes.
Boy, so we're so far sticking to our original. Pammy, of course, listen, we knew where this was going to go. Pammy going with, of course, her countrywoman, Amanda Nunes. Proteus sticking with the Peruvian / Russian, Shevchenko. Right? We go to you, Marco. Marco, will it be the Peruvian, or will it be the Brazilian?
First thing was to stop it away. She's Russian. She
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Dude, we already got the blueprint for this fight. There is no evidence, none whatsoever, that Amanda Nunes can go past the second round. By the third round, she always gasses. All her wins have been quick wins either in the first round or the second. But we have seen against Katsingano, we have seen against Shevchenko that her gas goes away. We have never seen it get, you know, past at the end of the third in her UFC career. She's a fantastic fighter on the first two rounds. She's a demon. She's something to behold. But get past that, and we have problems. On the other hand, we have seen Shevchenko go full five against Holly Holm. We have seen her, you know, headline and show extremely good cardio. And now, oddly enough, she had really good ground game. You know, the Amber of Juliana Pena surprised everybody. Everybody was like, you know,
yeah, that's crazy.
The ground, is Shevchenko fights to lose. Juliana Pena is a ace in the ground, this and that. Next thing you know, she is getting submitted. So I'm right now with Shevchenko. I think Shevchenko is going to win this. By decision, she's going to go all five. Amanda Nunes is going to get a good showing in the first two rounds, and it's going to go the way Claudia Gadelha did against Joanna Jędrzejczyk. She's going to get tired, and Shevchenko, being the more technical, more polished striker, is going to start piecing her out and outpoint her in the later three rounds and win a unanimous decision. A new UFC women's bantamweight champion, Valentina Shevchenko.
Wow, everyone sticking with their originals. At the risk of ticking off Pam, I will say this, guys. Nunes is a much larger fighter by 3 inches, but she just looks a lot larger, right? She's a lot more imposing than Valentina Shevchenko. Valentina Shevchenko, guys, and listen, this is from one failed kickboxer's opinion, but she does not have power in her hands, but she has a lot of speed, much like the renowned Joanna Jędrzejczyk. But I will say this, Pammy, I just don't know why. I don't know if I just, you know, I'll probably hear it from you next week. I could be wrong here, you guys, but I'm sticking with my original. I'm going with Proteus. I'm going with Marco, Pammy. I think it's going to be a decision, so I'm sticking with Proteus on this one. I just don't see how Valentina isn't smart enough to try to stay away from the power that Amanda Nunes has. And we have seen this fight before, guys. I think Marco put it best. We have seen this fight before. We saw it go 3, and we saw what happened there, guys. I just think Shevchenko's too smart. I might go out on a limb here at the risk of ticking off Pammy. I'm choosing Shevchenko via decision.
Good for you.
Pammy?
Okay.
No, but you don't see it
often. Keep in mind, it was whatever. But she, her win was unanimous, as I pointed out last time. But that's okay. But you know what? I think it's pretty interesting. Is a lot of us, if you look at this card, a lot of the fights that we're picking are going to decision. So it's going to be a long night of fights.
Let's hope.
And I think it's going to be even longer once we get to the main event. Yeah.
Idea.
Guys,
yeah.
Let's do it. In my eyes, the main event is Shevchenko Nunes, but let's stick with the card here, guys. To the flyweight we go, Marco. Brian from Boston. Favorite record-breaking fight here. Ray Borg, the Taz Mexican Devil. 24 years young, 11-2, a plus 500, Proteus, plus 500. He will fight, and do we even have to mention this? Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson, 31 years young. I think it's fair to say, pound for pound, the best UFC fighter, period, right now, because he's the only one that seems to be under the not under on its supplement. 26-2-1, a minus 900 favorite. Marco, we go to you. It's even blasphemous to say, but is it DJ or Ray Borg?
Blasphemy! First of all, the executioner? How easy is to go resist any pseudo Borg? Come on, man! Resistance is really bored, and it would be like awesome, but whatever. The mightiest of mouse is gonna freaking make history this weekend. Unless freaking lightning strike, he freaking step on a banana peel, and the freaking insane clown posse mug him before the fight. I don't see how Borg can win this fight. Not only is Demetrius Johnson probably the best technical MMA fighter in the history of MMA, the guy had an insane pace, and he got cardio, literally cardio forever. Demetrius Johnson is keep the same pace on the fifth round that he gets on the first round. And a lot of people talk about his technical prowess, but I think it's because of his cardio that he's so good. Because that relentless pace, nobody can keep up, and he drowns people on it. I just watched on UFC Fight Pass, the Horiguchi fight, and it was amazing. In the first round, Horiguchi was doing okay. But the second round, he's like a step slower, and Demetrius keeping the same pace. By the third round, it was curtains. It was Demetrius doing whatever he wanted, and then finished the fight with 1 second left on the bell five, for crying out loud. It is that pace. It's that relentless freaking pressure. And the fact that Demetrius Johnson's gears are always working, it's like a computer there. If you do something, he counters you with something else, and he doesn't let you breathe. Famously, in the second Job Thompson fight, he get kick in the nuts. Her team is going to stop the fight to let Demetrius freaking recover. Demetrius look at her team and say, no, because he look at John Dobson, and John Dobson was tired. And he say, no, don't stop it. Jardine let the fight go, and he just went right on Jeff Dunson's face and start beating the crap out of him again. That is the Demetrius we get. That is the freaking pound-for-pound king. He's going to break the record this weekend, and he's going to do it by whatever way he wants. I'll pick a full-round submission just because he's going to want to entertain the fans and because, you know, sometimes he just gets his own way of finishing a fight. He likes to just put a show, and it's going to be Demetrius Johnson, four-round submission, and the all-time freaking great status on him, deservedly so.
You know what, guys? Before we even started this exercise, I just sent a picture to Proteus. Before we even went to the flyweight division, I already had Marco, Pam, myself, and Proteus choosing Demetrius Johnson. But we are Democratic here, so we are going to go and do the rounds. Pammy, Marco,
yep.
Going with DJ, fourth round decision, or rather
submission.
We go to you, Pammy. Is it anything different?
Well, I passed him. No, you know, the only thing that I have to throw in into this is that Ray Borg, you know, I'm giving him a little bit of his credit. The losses, he has two losses, and they are by decision. His last TKO was 2013. His last five fights have gone the distance, even though he lost one in that mix. They've gone the distance. So he has decent cardio. But I think Demetrius Johnson, he's got speed, conditioning, technique, fast hands, the footwork. His last loss was in 2011 to Dominic Cruz. And, you know, he had that one draw to Uncle Creepy in 2012. But seven of his last 12 have gone five rounds as well. So, of course, I'm picking Demetrius Johnson, but I'm going to take this unanimous decision. I think it's going to go all five.
Wow.
You know, like Marco said, just to entertain the crowd, because, like I say, Ray Borg, even his losses have come by decision, which means he's gone all rounds. Last five fights have gone the distance. So I think it is going to go all five, but it's going to be a unanimous decision.
Wow, Pammy going, of course, DJ, unanimous decision. Marco taking DJ via fourth-round submission. Prados, I doubt you're going to say anything different. I think you're going to say it's going to be Mighty Mouse, but Prados, I throw to you. Will it be Ray Borg, the Tasmexican Devil, or will it be Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson?
Well, I don't want to, you know, not give Ray Borg his props, because Ray Borg is in this fight because he is a good fighter. Okay, let me start this over again, because I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant.
Okay.
DJ was right to originally pick who he wanted to fight for this. The UFC did not want to give him who he wanted. Now he said, give me Ray Borg. So Ray Borg is the challenger. Ray Borg has as much chance as Randy Couture had against Chuck Liddell in their first, their second, and their third fight. Having said that, I do expect DJ to win this fight. However, Ray Borg is not a joke. If he makes the weight, and he's only not made weight twice, so let's not give him a friggin' hard time about it. However, I do believe that DJ is a much more skilled fighter than Ray Borg is. If Ray Borg is going to get lucky, he's going to get lucky in the first or maybe the second round. I'd say maybe the first round, because DJ is going to run circles around him. And we know that DJ does get caught every now and then. We've seen it. I don't know if it spurs him on, but he seems to get caught and his fights and then just, you know, kind of rage after that. I'm going to take Demetrius Johnson. I'm going to take him second round TKO. Yeah, I'm going to go with TKO. I feel submission as well, but I'm going to say TKO. Thank you, Tony.
Proteus is right. Ray Borg has the same chance that I do of beating Demetrius Johnson, which is zero to none, and in my opinion. Proteus. I mean, obviously,
well,
Ray Borg is
the world,
a professional.
Tony, if he shocks the world, we're all going to eat our hat. We're all going to eat our hat. Oh.
And it will be shocking. Literally, it will be shocking, right? I mean, it will be. So, obviously, Proteus Absolutely. Has DJ in the second. Marco has DJ in the fourth. Pammy has DJ via decision. I think he's going to finish them in the fourth. I'm copying Marco, and I'll tell you why, Pammy, just because I do think the Mexican Devil has problems making weight. I know Proteus, it's only been twice, but it's once too many, right, when you're a 125er.
Yeah.
And I even though he's gone through a lot of decisions, guys, we talk about adrenaline dump. I don't think he's ever headlined. And by the way, interestingly enough, Ray Borg was on the same card that Amanda Nunes was when she beat Rousey, which still hurts to this day. But and he's been on the same card with Jeremy Stevens, by the way. But I actually think it's going to be the same thing that we see all the time. DJ's going to do what DJ does. He's going to dominate that class, and he's going to break the record. I still think it's not going to be as a big a deal as it is with the larger classes, but it's well-deserved. Demetrius Johnson will finish Ray Borg in the fourth, and I think he's going to submit him in the fourth. So I agree with Marco. So I'm choosing DJ, fourth round submission.
Yeah.
Nothing. All right, guys.
DJ originally wanted Sergio Perez, but Perez wasn't available for the fight. And
exactly.
We went to the whole show dance. And I'm a little bit upset that he didn't took that fight, because that would have been a more interesting fight for the magnitude of the event. But, you know, my board is serviceable. Now, what I want DJ to do is, after he breaks the record, say, now I want a super fight. And either call out Cody Garvin and TJ to come down, or he goes up and he becomes a champ.
So you want him to call out the snake in the grass?
No, I'm talking about either TJ Dillashaw or the winner of the Dillashaw Garvin fight. And
right.
I want either them to come down and meet the best pound-for-pound fighter, or him to
Which I think they should do.
Or him going up and become a double bay champ, you know? Either way, he becomes a super fight, and he lets the division play out, because you need contenders. I mean, besides Sergio Perez and Formiga, there is no other contenders for DJ to fight, man. So he needs to do something in the meantime to let the division play it out, because he basically cleaned the whole division up. And Sergio Perez, you know, has a fight coming up soon. And, he just got a fight. But whatever. And he looked good on his last fight, Sergio Perez. Formiga, you know, is bouncing around there. So they need those two guys to make a case or to face him. In the meantime, let's DJ make some money, dude.
And, Tony, if I may... Guys, let's get in. Please.
Go ahead, Proteus, please.
Okay. So I just wanted to make a point here that when Anderson Silva went on his run and he set the record, his division was not very good. Same thing with Demetrius Johnson can be said. However, we still want to hold up, and I said this on previous shows. Thank you, Tony. I love it. I've said this on previous shows that it's just the way the division is. I mean, it's a fight. Everybody has a chance to win the fight. And he is going, if he wins and he breaks this record, like Marco says, he deserves to get whatever the fuck he wants. We gave Anderson Silva two fights out of his weight division because there was nobody for him to fight. At least Demetrius Johnson has gotten to 10 wins not fought. Exactly. He is, for a champion, he has put on more fights than any other champion has. And he's winning in recent days. He's winning in very impressive fashion. So if you want to have a bias against the 125 division, as I know that you do, Tony, that's fine. But this guy, in my opinion, if he is able to break this record, it doesn't matter what he does after that. All of the rest is just gravy. In my mind, he will be the greatest fighter of all time. He will have surpassed Anderson Silva. He would have taken his illustrious record, and we have to give him his props. man. We just have to, because we've not seen anybody do what he's done, and that needs to be noted. Thank you, Tony. Move on.
You, Proteus, you're absolutely right. It doesn't make a difference that he weighs less than Misha Tate. It doesn't make a difference that right now he weighs less than PVZ.
You play ball like a girl!
You're right. He is, I mean, he is, he will be, honestly, and all, with all due respect, he is one of the best fighters, MMA fighters we've ever seen in any class, and he deserves it. It's not his fault that the division is what it is, you're right, but, you know, it's, you know, I you know what? You're right, Proteus. I think Aaron wanted to sing a song for it. Thank you, Aaron.
All right, Aaron, guys,
let's move on. But you're absolutely right, Proteus. I mean, in all honesty, he is probably, we can say as of right now, perhaps the best MMA fighter that we've ever seen, at least in the last decade, for sure. At least the last 5 years, let's say that, for sure. All right, guys. We have time for this, so let's do this. Spotlight fight of the night. And we will go you first, Proteus. What is your spotlight fight of the night? And why?
Is he on mute?
Proteus. Is he on mute?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm on mute. What's happening?
All right, hold on. Let's do this again. Hang on. We will go to you, Proteus, because we have time. What is your spotlight fight of the night and the new thing, and why is it your spotlight fight of the night?
I do apologize. I was speaking with my wife. I didn't expect you to come back to me right away, Tony. Listen, I think that
Sorry.
We need to draw our attention to a Fight Pass prelim fight, which has Mitch the Danger Zone Clark versus Alex the Spartan White. I'm very excited to see what happens in this tilt, Tony. I just think it's two really tough fighters with the same kind of record trying to move up in their division. Of course, I got a soft spot for the Canadian boy, but Alex White is also a very, very tough gentleman. I'm excited to see what happens on this Fight Pass card. Tony, take it away.
Tammy, we're going to go to you. Spotlight fight of the night and why?
My spotlight fight of the night is Cejudo in Heist. I'm just interested. I'm just curious to see how this turns out, as Henry Cejudo coming off of that injury. Did he have a hand injury, correct? And then Heist coming off his loss to Demetrius Johnson. And I'm just wondering how a number two contender is on a prelim fight. But that's the fight I want to see.
Tammy, the question is, over, under, will any of them make weight? Cejudo or Heist?
What if they don't? What if, you know what? That's a good question, you know, because I was going to say that too, but I was being polite. What happens in that case? Do they even like forfeit a purse because one forfeits to the other? So does it cancel out, or what happens in that case if both of them miss weight?
Well, they can
does
agree.
Does whoever
on a
miss
weight.
More weight, like whoever
no,
misses the most weight,
it becomes a cash weight.
If
both
of them agree on a weight,
okay.
If both of them miss weight, it becomes a cash weight. Yeah.
Okay.
Marco, let's go to you. Spotlight fight of the night and why?
Yeah. First of all, good pick there for Pan, because you know, the number two and the number three guys, they both lost to Demetrius Johnson. They're fighting on this car. Like you know, Benavides is a Robin to Demetrius Johnson, Batman. And these two guys are 2A and 2B when it comes to the division. So, very good fight. I'm picking up another fight past prelim, Cajun Johnson versus Adriano Martins. I think this is an action fight. Yeah, Cajun Johnson is the curtain jerker of the whole freaking event. Interesting fight. I wonder what they give you in Adriano Martins. Who do you piss off, Cajun Johnson? Who the hell do you piss off? But yeah, it's going to be an actual fight to open all the events here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, you know, to get the early risers, the early people there excited, you know, and get them going. So that's my spotlight fight.
Wow. You know what? I actually sent a text to Proteus right before the show started, and I said, Proteus, who do you think I should pick as a spotlight fight? Because there clearly will not be Careless Whisper tonight, and he just left me a voice message. And I said, he's not on there, Proteus. He's not on the card. Thank you, Proteus. All right. I'm actually going to go with Sarah McMahon versus Caitlin Vieira, guys. For no reason at all, I'm just a fan of Sarah McMahon, guys. I think she's a very talented fighter who, unfortunately, I don't think will ever win a championship. But clearly, I mean, boy, she can definitely bench press everybody on the show right now, or out bench press everyone on the show right now.
Can I give an honorable mention?
Go ahead, Cody. Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to take Sarah Morales versus Ashley Evans-Smith just because Careless Whisper, for sure.
Really? For which one?
Oh, for sure.
You want to buy my glasses?
Right.
Yeah, for
no,
which one, Brody?
Hey,
both.
Beauty
either
is
or.
In the eye of the beholder, bitch.
Either or.
And who's Sarah Morales?
Oh, she's a nice and Canadian girl. You know, she's...
You mean Sarah Morrow?
She looks like she's lost a lot of weight, and she looks like she's doing okay. Yeah, I always thought she was cute. Careless Whisper.
All right.
That's like a
you know,
yeah.
I think this is getting a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, guys. All right, guys.
Like
let's move on. Good from far, but far from good?
Hey, whatever. Somebody's too choosy.
There's a little snake in the grass right there. Hey, little boy.
Thank you. Thank you, Dillashaw. All right, guys, let's move on. So before we close, let's do this. Recently, of course, I've gotten wind of a show called Ozark, and I'm 6 episodes into it on Netflix, so I'm certainly going to drop that. Does anyone have any bit of does anyone agree with me? Does anyone have something else that should watch? Guys,
Westworld.
I got a show for you.
Both good.
I got a show for you. Go ahead, brothers.
No, I was just saying, both good shows. Go ahead, Marco.
Yeah. I heard about Ozark, but I lately get into the rabbit hole on Netflix of watching Daredevil. If you like Marvel Comics, Daredevil is really good, really gritty, and really dark, dude. It's a dark, dark show. So if you guys haven't catch it, watch Daredevil. Do not freaking care too much about Iron Fist. Iron Fist suck. But I was at season 2 and like, God, why? But Daredevil for sure watch it. It's really well made. A lot of depth in the character. Wilson Fisk is one of the coolest and evilest bad guys on the Marvel freaking universe. So check Daredevil out.
Darn, that's a good one. You know what? On that same note, Proteus, Tammy, I just got to watch Wonder Woman again. And yeah, cue the Careless Whisper. I fell in love with Gal Gadot again, you guys, from Wonder Woman. So we go to you, Proteus. Let's close the show. Actually, let's go ladies first. Beautiful Tammy, what you got to end the show?
You know what? I'm going to go see It on Monday, but I've been watching Ozark and Westworld. I'm digging
Tammy,
it.
Tammy, on It, did you watch the original?
I did not.
Oh, see, I was wondering if that was going to spoil it because if you've already seen it.
Well, I know like a little bit of the spoiler about it, but that's all right. I don't mind the spoiler.
Huh? All right, so Pammy, watch It. She's watching It on Monday. I think it comes out this Friday, right? So way to go there. Grotius, we're throwing to you. What's going up north?
Yeah, a couple of things I wanted to say. For Marco, who is only on What did Marco say? What show did you say, Marco?
Daredevil.
Right. Marco, after you're done Daredevil, start Defenders on the Netflix, because Defenders is a whole bunch of people. Actually, after Daredevil, start Jessica Jones, because Jessica Jones is good as well.
Luke Cage.
Sound like a plan? But Defenders is all of them together, and it's coming out right now. It's very good on Netflix. Also, where are we, Tony? What else do you want from me except for to say we're out of here?
No, not yet. Marco has to close the show.
No.
My next? Yeah.
Marco! Marco, let's get the mic up a little closer.
Rodrigo, you got a produce prime time tomorrow?
We may have Showtime to do Hold the Line. Just depends on what Showtime schedule is, since you didn't make it tonight, Marco.
Okay, so I'm plugging your show regardless. Check produce tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Produce, I appreciate it.
I'm plugged the line with Showtime. Of course, photo at Tony, I am DJ Tony. Follow up on a Pandora Box. Follow Produce at Produce. Follow me at Maldo Marco. Follow the show at Another MMA Cast. Rate and review as Knuckleheads. We're on iTunes, Google Play, iCloud, you name it. We're on all the platforms. You guys, enjoy the fight. I gotta leave you guys. Catch you guys next time.
Hey, Tom Galicia on Sunday. I forgot.
How about that? So we hope everyone's safe. And like that, Proteus? Did someone just drop the Jacare? Did someone just drop the Jacare? Oh, man.
Jacare.
All right, Proteus, let's get out of here.
Hey.
We'll see you guys on Sunday, hopefully. Yeah. We're out of here. See ya next week.
That's exactly what I did to your mother, buddy.
Thank you, Joe Rogan.